WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. This morning, we're going to begin with another episode of The Shadow. This one's titled, The Shadow Challenged. This episode, you'll note, will not be starring Orson Welles. This one will be starring Bill Johnstone as Lamont Cranston in The Shadow. The original air date for this one was the 19th of January, 1941. Bill Johnstone actually made an appearance. He played Paul Gordon in the first episode, The Death House Rescue. That was 5 years previous to this current episode. But now we'll take you on in.
The Shadow, mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. As the Shadow, Cranston is gifted with hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible Shadow belongs. Today's story, The Shadow Challenged.
Hello? No. No, I can't speak to him. And please don't put more calls through, operator. I'm busy working and I don't wish to be disturbed. Thank you. Now, let me see. Where was I? Oh, yes. What was that?
I'm sorry to interrupt your work, Professor Rice.
Who is that? Who is speaking? I see no one.
I am called The Shadow.
The Shadow? I've heard of you. What are you doing here?
That manuscript you're translating, Professor Rice. It is of great value, is it not?
Yes, of course.
I want you to give it to me, Professor.
Give you this manuscript? Why, that's impossible. It's not mine. It belongs to the museum. It's a direct key to ancient Hindu culture.
I know. That's why I've come here. I want that manuscript.
Now, see here. I've always had a great respect for you, Shadow. You work for the forces of good against the forces of evil. But now, you're behaving like a common thief.
Give me that manuscript.
No.
Very well. I see that I must use other methods.
What do you mean? What are you going to do?
This is what I'm going to do, Professor Rice.
Shadow. Why did you do this?
Lamont Cranston. To think that I believed you all these years when you told me what a golfer you were.
Oh, I just had an off day, that's all, Margot. Even the best of his experience, though. Besides, I'm not used to playing in the sun.
You weren't in the sun. Huh? You were in a nice, shady wood. You never saw the fairway all day.
All right, you win.
Do we have time for a swim?
I think so.
Oh, good.
I've got to vindicate my athletic ability in some fashion.
Big snowstorms, extra.
Don't you ever change that headline down here?
Well, not till I think of a better one. Paper, mister?
All right, here you are.
Thank you. Extra, entire northern states buried by snowstorm. Read all about it.
Well, how bad was the storm? How many feet of snow?
Margo, you're talking like a tourist. All they need is a flurry up north to cause a headline like this.
Oh, really?
Oh, sure. You get used to these headlines after you hear... Margot.
What?
Margot, look at this.
What is it?
The story on the front page. Museum professor murdered by the shadow.
By the shadow?
Well, that's what it says. Professor Rice of the Cosmopolitan Museum was found dying in his apartment late this evening by the police. In a deathbed statement to Commissioner Weston, he described his assailant as an invisible man who called himself the shadow.
Well, Lamont, that's impossible. How do you explain it?
I have no explanation. But one thing is certain. We're catching the next plane north. And you say, Commissioner Weston, that the dying man swore that his assailant was the shadow?
That's right.
Well, somehow I can't believe that.
Now, look, Miss Lane, facts are facts.
Well, what Margot means, Commissioner, is that she can't believe that the shadow would do such a thing.
Well, that's her opinion. Me, I think different.
What do you mean?
I've always suspected that the shadow was a criminal at heart.
Why?
Otherwise, why would he always remain invisible? Oh, I tell you, he's a bad egg, and this murder confirms it.
This manuscript, Commissioner, the one that the killer stole from Professor Rice, what do you know about it?
Well, it's something that the professor was working on. Rice and three other scholars are employed by the Cosmopolitan Museum, specializing in, restoration and recreation of ancient Hindu culture.
Yes, I'm acquainted with all of them and their work.
Well, you probably know more about it than I do. Anyway, this manuscript was very valuable to them.
But what value would it have to anyone else?
That's out of the department, Miss Lane. My job is, who put it to the corpus delicti? In other words, who killed Professor Rice? And the answer to that is the shadow.
And the motive?
Larceny, my friend. Good old-fashioned larceny. Shadow wanted that manuscript, and he killed the guy to get it.
Commissioner, I don't think that the shadow had anything to do with it.
Look, I heard the accusation with my own ears just before the erstwhile Professor Rice gave up the ghost.
Nevertheless, I can't believe the shadow is guilty. And I hope to be able to prove my point.
How?
Well, with your permission, I'd like to go to the museum and talk to Professor Rice's associates. See what I can learn.
Go ahead. Go ahead, my friend.
We'll leave the car here, Margot. I believe that the night entrance to the museum is in this wing.
Lamont, do you suppose that someone has discovered your secret and is misusing it in the shadow's name?
That's possible, Margot.
Well, what else could it be?
Well, perhaps Weston is putting the blame of the crime on the shadow to excuse his department's inability to solve the murder.
Oh, Lamont, what a horrible thing to do.
Well, that's just a supposition, Margot. Well, here we are. We'll have to ring for the watchman.
What do you expect to find out here, Lamont?
Well, I want to talk to the other professors and find out more about the missing manuscript.
Yes? What is it?
Oh, good evening. We wish to see either Professor Carter or Hagen or Professor Amund.
Yes?
I know they're working here this evening.
Are you expected?
Yes, yes, we are.
Oh, well, come in.
Thank you.
We seldom have visitors at this late hour.
Well, I guess not.
I must ask you to walk quietly, please. They do not like to be disturbed.
You mean the professors?
Oh, no, not the professors. I mean those that live here.
Oh, are there people there?
This is their time to rest.
Who?
Those that you see about you, the statues, the paintings, tires them, you know. People staring at them through the day?
Oh, yes. Yes, I can understand that.
Lamont, does he mean...
Margot, the statues must appreciate your consideration for them, sir.
Oh, yes, yes, they do. They know that I watch over them through the night. There is the door to the offices. I must leave you here.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes. Yes, it was nice of you to show us the way.
Not at all. Good night.
Yes. Good night. Cheerful fellow. Makes you feel right at home.
Yes. Well, let's go in, Margo.
Oh. It's you, Mr. Cranston. I didn't expect to see anyone.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Miss Lane, Professor Carter.
How do you do?
How do you do, Miss Lane? Won't you go into the office? Professor Armand is there. I have to consult a file. I'll be right back.
Oh, yes. Thanks, Professor Carter. Well, come along, Margo.
All right.
May we come in?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course, Mr. Cranston. Do come in.
Well, thank you. I don't believe you know Miss Lane.
No, I have never had the pleasure.
This is Professor Armand, Margot.
How do you do, Professor?
I am most delighted to make your acquaintance. Won't you both be seated?
Thank you.
Thank you. I spoke to Professor Hagen this afternoon. Did he explain to you the purpose of my visit?
Yes, he did. You are interested, I believe, in solving the murder of our most worthy colleague, Professor Rice.
Yes.
A very noble endeavor.
I thought I might begin by learning more about the manuscript that Professor Rice was working on when he was killed.
An excellent beginning.
Yes. What was its value, Professor Armand?
The missing manuscript was quite priceless in rarity. But its monetary value was slight indeed, because any attempt to resell it would bring immediate arrest.
Well, Professor, what was in the manuscript?
I must confess that I do not know. You see, it was one section of a single volume that the four of us were translating. Each of us took one quarter of the work.
The work deals with ancient Hindu culture, doesn't it?
Yes.
Would it by any chance contain any secrets? Secrets of that civilization which could be of value to someone today?
I fear that I am not at liberty to answer that question, Mr. Cranston. Perhaps Professor Hagen might be of greater service to you. He is our superior, you know.
Where is the professor?
He's working in the laboratory upstairs. I shall be most willing to go up and get him for you.
But can't you possibly...
I shall return in a moment with Professor Hagen. You will excuse me, Miss Lane, Mr. Cranston. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Well, Our Hindu friend didn't appear to be too willing to talk.
No. I believe he knows much more than he can to tell.
Lamont, I wonder if... Should we answer it?
Well, I suppose I'd better. Hello?
To whom am I speaking?
This is Lamont Cranston.
Oh. Then I can leave my message with you.
Certainly. What is it?
Of the three men who once were four, one more is about to die.
Who is this? Who's speaking?
The shadow.
The shadow? Hello? Hello?
What's the matter, Lamont?
That person on the phone called himself the Shadow.
Then there is an impersonator.
Yes.
I'm sorry to be so long.
Professor Carter, someone just called on the phone. He said that one of you three professors is about to die.
What?
It might be a crank, but we can't take any chances.
Where are the others?
Upstairs in the laboratory. You'd better take us up there at once.
Oh, yes, yes. Follow me. Up these stairs.
Come along, Margo.
I can't imagine who...
There's trouble up there. Hurry, Carter.
It sounds like Armand's voice. Right in here.
What's wrong at...
Oh,
Margo, you better stay out of here. It's not a pleasant sight.
Armand, what happened? What happened to Professor Hagen?
I found him so, on the floor, dying.
Oh.
Was he still alive when you got here?
Yes.
Could he talk to you? Did you learn anything?
Yes, he told me that his attacker was an invisible man who called himself the Shadow.
Well, Margot, we now have definite proof that someone is impersonating the Shadow.
Yes, Lamont, but what can you do about it?
Don't worry, Margot. I've always used the power of the Shadow to aid the forces of law and order, to help good conquer evil.
Yes, I know.
And now that someone else has discovered my secret of invisibility and is misusing this power, I shall travel to the ends of the earth to conquer him. This, Margot, is the Shadow's greatest challenge. But I'm sure that I can meet it and come out on top.
The Shadow has an imposter this morning. This would be overall the 124th episode of The Shadow. This is during season 4 and would have been show 17 of that season. The Shadow was in the detective story 7 years before Orson Welles brought it to its own dramatization. Excuse me. I just don't know what happened. We lost The Shadow. So, let me just play some Bach here for you while I figure out what's wrong with the CD player. Harpsichord Concerto, number 5 in F minor. That's from the Slaughterhouse 5 soundtrack. So we'll hear something else. Leedy, White Landscape after that, before another Goldberg variation until I can figure out about this CD player. Sorry.
Telephone directory under the word Blue Coal. Call him tomorrow. And now, back to The Shadow.
Lamont, have you uncovered any clues? Any leads as to the identity of this person who's masquerading as a shadow?
Nothing important, no. But in the past 12 hours, I have received 2 mysterious unsigned messages.
Really? What about?
I'll read you one of them. It says, "Why don't you inquire into the jealousy of the 4 who now are 2?
Does that refer to the 4 professors?
Yes. And I learned that it's quite true. A great jealousy existed. All 4 men, although they worked together, were constantly vying with one another for individual glory.
Then that's why the original manuscript was divided among the four of them.
Exactly.
Well, Lamont, you mentioned that you received two messages. What was the other one?
I have it here. Now listen to this. What were the secrets to be found in the manuscript that was being translated by the four who now are two?
And did you learn the answer to that question?
Not very satisfactorily. I can only guess that these secrets were of an occult nature. Secrets of the ancient Orient.
I see.
And it was in the Orient, Margot, that the Shadow learned his secret of invisibility.
Yes, of course. Lamont, who could have sent those messages?
I don't know his identity, but judging by the phrases he used, they were written by the same man that I spoke to on the telephone. The man who calls himself the Shadow.
But why should he be helping you?
I wish I knew. In any case, Margot, his messages bear further investigation. So I think I shall begin by paying a call on Professors Carter and Amwood as the Shadow.
Do you by any chance have a feeling of uneasiness, my dear Professor Carter?
How do you mean?
We still have in our trusted possession the remaining parts of the manuscript. That would make us, shall I say, logical victims.
Then you believe, Professor Armand, that we too are marked for death?
That was not my statement. I merely point to the past as a warning of the future.
Well, that's a pleasant picture. If you don't mind, Professor, I'd rather not hear any more of your prophecies tonight.
Very well, if that...
What was that?
You'll pardon my intrusion, gentlemen.
Who speaks? I see no one.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am called the Shadow.
Shadow? He's coming here to kill us.
Oh, now don't be alarmed, Professor Carter. I shan't harm you. I've merely come here seeking information.
It is true. It is true, just as we have heard. You are invisible, Mr. Shadow.
Yes.
Very interesting. Very. How do you achieve this invisibility?
By hypnotizing your minds, gentlemen.
Are you here to kill us as you did the others?
I did not kill the others, Professor Carter. That was done by an imposter who used my name. And you can both help me to trap this masquerading murderer.
Help you? How?
By telling me what I wish to know. By answering my questions.
What are your questions?
What precious secrets were contained in the manuscripts that were stolen?
Secrets? I do not understand.
No evasions, please, Professor Armwood. You are both working on sections of that book. What is it about? What mysteries of the ancient Orient does it reveal?
I am afraid you have been misinformed, my dear Shadow. Hasn't he, Professor Carter?
Oh, yes. Yes, there are no secrets.
You're lying, both of you.
Lying?
Yes. And your lies are most incriminating. You see, gentlemen, I happen to know the circumstances surrounding the death of Professor Hagen. And based on these circumstances, either of you could have been his murderer.
That's not true.
You don't know what you're saying, Shadow.
Ah, but I do. So shall we say, gentlemen, that it might be wise for you both in the future to be much more careful.
Lamont, did you learn anything from Armwood or Carter?
Nothing definite. They wouldn't talk, either one of them.
Well, what's to be done now?
I'm not sure. I think that I'll take it.
Right.
Hello?
Is this Lamont Cranston?
Yes?
I just want to tell you that of the four who now are two, one more is about to go.
Who is this?
You know who this is, Mr. Cranston. I am the Shadow.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, Lamont. Was that the imposter?
Yes. He's delivered another warning.
What was it?
Another one of the professors is marked for death.
Oh, which one?
He didn't say. We must warn them both at once. Come on, Margot. Carter lives right down the street. We'll go to his place first. If he's all right, we'll call Amon from there. But come quickly. We must hurry. Professor Carter? Professor Carter?
Lamont, do you suppose something's happened to him already?
We'll soon find out. I'll use the skeleton key. I hate to do this, but... there we are. Come on, Margot. Professor Carter!
Lamont, look. The living room. There's been a fight.
Yes, furniture overturned, lamps broken.
But where's Carter?
I'll look in the bedroom. Carter! Carter, are you in there?
Any sign of him, Lamont?
No. This is the only other room in the apartment.
What could have happened to him?
I don't know. It's quite obvious, though, that he was the one selected as the next victim.
This whole thing becomes more baffling every minute.
Quite the contrary, Margot. I think it becomes increasingly clear.
What do you mean, Lamont?
Before we came here, Margot, I was practically convinced that either Carter or Amwood was the one who murdered Hagen and Rice.
Lamont, are you serious?
Yes, Margot. I felt that one of them had learned something from their share of the manuscript that made them kill to obtain the other men's copies.
I see. But how was the shadow impersonated?
That fits into it too, Margot, very neatly. I learned the secret of invisibility in the Orient. It came from an ancient source. And one of those men could have learned this secret from his manuscript.
Yes, that's very logical. But now that Carter is missing...
Yes, that leaves only Amund. And I think we should pay a call on that gentleman at once. We'd like to see Professor Amund, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. He's not in his apartment.
When do you expect him?
Well, not for some time, sir. He's been called out of town unexpectedly.
When did he leave?
A short time ago, sir.
Did he say where he was going?
No, sir. He just said he'd been gone for an indefinite period.
Well, I guess that just proves Amund's guilt, doesn't it, Lamont?
I don't know, Margot. I've been reviewing the entire case in my mind, and several new factors have occurred to me.
What are they?
Well, let's wait till we get into the apartment. We'll talk over a cup of tea.
All right.
Won't you go in, Margot?
Yes, thanks. Lamont.
Hmm?
Look, there seems to be a note here right under the door.
A note? Let me see it.
Here.
Well, listen to this, Margot. Tonight at the hour of midnight in the storage room in the basement of the museum, the one whom you seek can be found.
Does that mean the person who is masquerading as a shadow?
I think it does. What time is it, Margot?
Let's see. About 20 of 12.
Well, if I don't want to keep our friend waiting, I'd better be getting over to the museum.
Well, Lamont, suppose this is a trap of the killers, a scheme to do away with you as he did the others.
I'll chance that, Margot. But I want you to get word to Commissioner Weston. Have him at the museum with his men at 12:15. Tell him that he will find the murderer who has pretended to be the shadow. Is there anyone here? This is Lamont Cranston. Is there anyone here? Who is that?
Don't let me frighten you, Mr. Cranston. I'm your old friend, the shadow.
You are not the shadow?
No. How would you know that? Answer me.
I repeat, you are not the shadow.
I see. And would your knowledge be based on the fact that you yourself are the shadow? Would it, Mr. Cranston? You don't have to answer, I know. I've known for some time now. You are the shadow.
What makes you think so?
I've followed the activities of the shadow for many years. I was most curious to learn his real identity. I began keeping track of the people who were present before and after all of his appearances.
I see. And after discarding many suspects, your search narrowed down to me, is that it?
That's it, exactly. And I am the only man who knows the identity of the shadow.
Well, I must compliment you on your cleverness. I admit to you, I am the shadow.
Yes, but a very powerless shadow at this point. Having learned your secret of invisibility, I've hypnotized your mind before you were aware of me. This time, the real shadow is visible, and I am the one unseen.
How did you learn my secret?
From the Hindu manuscript.
Then you admit the murder of Professor Hagen and Professor Rice?
Yes. Yes, unfortunately, they were in the way.
Why did you commit these crimes in my name?
Because I wanted to attract the attention of you, the real shadow, and I succeeded. I led you on, Lamont Cranston, with my phone calls, anonymous notes.
Why? What was your purpose?
My purpose was and is to put an end to your activities. After tonight, Mr. Cranston, I alone will be the shadow, and I shall capitalize on this power. You are a fool.
Why do you say that?
Always working for the powers of good. I shall take real advantage of the name. With a trick of invisibility, the world will be mine.
I gather that I'm to be the next victim in your chain of murders.
To put it bluntly, yes.
I should think that you would make sure of your talents for invisibility before you attempted that.
What do you mean?
Unlike your other victims, my mind is not receptive to your hypnosis.
What are you saying?
I mean that you have been perfectly visible to me ever since you entered this room, Professor Carter.
What? You see me?
Most clearly. And now, if you will observe closely, I shall instruct you in the true art of hypnosis. Look at me, Professor Carter.
No.
Look at me.
No, no.
I am disappearing before your very eyes. You see? You see?
Wait, you can't do this. You're destroying my power. Do you hear? You're clouding my mind. Cranston.
I am no longer Cranston, Professor Carter. I am the shadow.
So... you think you've tricked me, do you? You think you've gained the upper hand, but you're wrong. You're wrong.
That revolver won't be of much use. How will you ever find your target?
I'll find you. I'll find you.
Don't again, Carter.
I won't miss this time.
Open up in there! Open up!
I believe that's the police, Carter. Please. You'd better put down that gun.
Let them come and get me, and they'd better come shooting.
You'll have to break open the door, Commissioner.
We're coming in.
And beware, this man here is armed.
Keep out of here! I'm warning you, keep out! You're not going to take me off! Oh!
He's been hit, Commissioner. Come ahead.
Shut off. So you're here, too.
I came here to apprehend that man on the floor. He is the one who used my name in killing Hagen and Rice.
What? What are you saying?
Look, he's still conscious. Ask him. Ask him.
All right. Why, it's Professor Carter.
Yes, he was my impersonator.
Carter. Professor Carter, is this true?
Yes, that's true.
How did you make yourself invisible?
I learned the secret from the manuscript which I've destroyed.
Carter, listen to me. You must know the identity of the real Shadow, don't you?
Yes.
Who is he? Tell me.
The real Shadow is...
You'll never learn now, Commissioner. But I think you should know this. In the future, you must always believe one thing about me. The Shadow, at all times, will be working on the side of right and justice.
On an interesting note there, Professor Carter was played by Frank Reddick Jr., who was actually the original narrator for the Detective Story magazine hour from 1931. Again, that air date was 19th of January, 1941. Now we're going to have to giddy up here because of some of these technical difficulties. As always, I follow up, have been following up the Shadow with the six shooter. And this one was actually broadcast, how many years ago? 54 years ago today. We might already have cut into it, but hope you enjoy it.
All of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the six shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. His handle unmarked. People call them both the six shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
Sure was coming down that afternoon in Petersville. It had started all of a sudden, too, just after I left Scar at the livery stable and headed up the main street toward Doc Early's office. All right, real cloudburst. The wind was from the north and strong enough so that the water was beating against the building slant-wise. And the way the wheel ruts in the street were turning into puddles. Oop. Rain barrels were sloshing over the sides. Well, it was like the whole town had been pushed under a leaky sieve. The closest cover I could spot was the front porch of the Jackson Hotel. That's better. For a minute, I sort of shook myself off like a half-drowned pup. Then I noticed the young fellow standing beside me. I didn't recognize him, though, not at first.
Mr. Ponsett? You are Britt Ponsett, ain't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I wasn't sure till I saw your gun. I guess you don't remember me, Mr. Ponsett. Calvin Plummer.
Calvin Plummer? Oh, I sure remember you, Cal. Say, you really sprung up, haven't you? Why, by George, you're taller than I am. How'd you manage to do so much growing so fast?
I wasn't so fast, Mr. Ponsett. It's been 6 years since you were in Petersville.
6 years, is that long?
Right after my 15th birthday, that's when you left.
6 years since I was here, huh? Let's see, that must make you right about 21 years old, huh?
Yes, sir.
Ah, 21. Yeah, that's a man's age.
It's supposed to be. Too bad everybody doesn't realize it.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes it takes a while for people to get used to the fact that you've grown up.
I guess so.
How are your folks?
Hmm?
Your Ma and Pa, how are they?
Didn't you know, Mr. Ponson? Pa died last summer.
Oh, well, no, I hadn't heard that. I'm sorry, Cal. I'm awful sorry about that. He was a fine man.
Yeah. At least I thought so.
Well, everybody thought so. You know that.
Did they?
What do you mean, Cal?
Nothing. Looks like it's letting up. You staying in town, Mr. Ponson?
No, just overnight. I kind of twisted my hand while I was branding a calf the other day. Swelling wouldn't go down, so I thought maybe Doc Early ought to have a look at it. If he's still practicing here, is he?
Yeah, he's still here. I expect you've been moving around quite a bit, huh, Mr. Ponce?
Oh, more than my share, I guess.
You ain't never been to a place called Elk Point, have you? Somewhere out in the New Mexico Territory?
Oh, yes. I was out there in Elk Point 2 winters ago, I think it was.
What kind of setup is a Quincy ranch? Would you mind telling me?
Quincy?
Yeah, it's supposed to be one of the biggest outfits in those parts.
Right. You sure it's near Elk Point?
Well, ain't it?
I don't know. I never heard of a Quincy ranch around there.
You certain, Mr. Ponce?
Yeah, of course. That doesn't mean that isn't a...
Yeah, I know. Well, goodbye.
Say hello to your Ma for me, Cal. She's all right, I trust.
Sure. She's fine.
I reckon your father was... Well, it must have hit her pretty hard, huh?
He had a real fast recovery.
What?
10 months ain't very long to mourn, is it? Not even a year. Just 10 months. Bye, Mr. Ponce.
Well, Cal Plummer had done a lot more than just grow up since the last time I saw him. Strange way he was carrying on. I sure couldn't figure out what caused it. And I talk about his mother, like Cora and Ned Plummer were just about as well suited as any two people I ever met up with. But you couldn't even think about one without thinking of the other. They must have been married on close to 35 years. Cal, he was their third child. He was the only one that lived. Ned sure thought the world of him. Petersville wouldn't be the same without Ned. Rain had stopped now. It even started to warm up a little. And the mud puddles out in the street were giving off little whiffs of steam. So I went over to Doc Early's office. It was just around the corner from the hotel.
Britt, don't look like you broke a thing. But it's a real bad sprain. The one you was even able to ride into town today.
Yeah, well, it wasn't any too comfortable, I'll tell you that much.
What you been doing for it?
Well, it wasn't much good to do, Doc, out the ranch, you know.
Yeah, well, some hot water and Epsom salts might be a little help. I'll put the kettle on and get it warm. And it was so darn chilly during all that rain, I built me a little fire in the stove. Good thing that ain't your shooting hand, Britt.
Well, I haven't needed a shooting hand much lately.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
No, things look quiet enough around Petersville.
Yeah, they're quiet all right, considering that Sheriff Jay is out of town.
Oh?
Yeah, he had some business, took him over to the New Mexico Territory. He's checking up on some fellow there.
Oh. Well, that's kind of a coincidence.
What do you mean?
Well, I just ran into Cal Plummer on the way up to see you, and he was asking me about New Mexico.
That wasn't no coincidence, Britt.
What?
You see, the reason the sheriff went to Roswell, well, of course, officially, he's picking up a prisoner. But the reason he went himself instead of sending somebody else is so he can do a little inquiring about Cal's new pa.
New pa?
Well, sure. Cora's married again. Didn't Cal tell you?
No, he didn't.
Well, I guess maybe he was just too ashamed to mention it.
Why, that doesn't seem possible. Cora Plummer remarried.
No, we was all mighty surprised. Nobody ever figured she'd look at another man, much less take a new husband. Especially so soon after. Well, it was less than a year. Oliver Quincy, that's the fellow's name.
Quincy, huh? Well, when did it happen, Doc?
About a month ago. Maybe 5 weeks. 5 weeks and 3 days. And it's as plain as day he married her because she's got a little money. Ned left her a pretty well fish, ranch, and all them cattle.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about Cal?
Oh, he came in some money, too. Enough for a good start in life. And Cal's a hard worker. He'll get along. I feel kind of sorry for him, though. You know, he just worshipped his pa. And Cora getting hitched again, well, it was sort of like a slap in the face to him.
Yeah?
Sounds like that water's boiling. Yeah, that ought to be hot milk for you.
So what kind of a man is this Oliver Quincy? Is that his name,
yeah,
Oliver?
Yeah, that's his name, all right. Oh, you know the type, Brit. Big fella, white hair, mustache, always smiling. Oh, here we are. A real four-flusher. That's what he is. You can spot him a mile off. Dresses like a dude, use a lot of fancy words. Move that stuff. Now, just let me... Now, just stick your hand in here.
Right here.
All the way, Britt, all the way. Heat's good for spring.
Smokes, that's hotter than a furnace, Doc.
Well, that's what draws out poison. You'll get used to it in a minute or so.
It draws out the what?
He claims that big ranch somewhere near Elk Point. Cora says he's worth more than she is. Well, maybe he's got her convinced, but he ain't fooling nobody else.
It could be the truth.
If he's so well off, why are they living on Cora's property? Just answer me that thing.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Guess that water's cooling off. Maybe I ought to pour in some fresh.
No. That water's fine, Doc. That's just fine. It doesn't need to be a bit hotter. And my hand's feeling better already.
Yeah, well, you leave it in a little while longer anyhow.
It's feeling better.
I reckon even Cora will get her eyes opened up when Sheriff Jay comes back from New Mexico. He'll have the truth about Oliver Quincy. Of course, it's going to hurt her some. A woman don't like the idea of finding out she's made a fool of herself. But it'll be better for her to find it out now than later.
Well, I just don't see how this concerns the sheriff, Doc.
Man who tells a widow woman to batch lies and finagles around so as he can get control of her property, that concerns the sheriff, don't it? Fellow who knew that, he might do a lot worse, Britt. He might do a whole lot worse. You just mark my word. All right, let's have a look at that hand of yours.
Oh, sure, yeah. What?
Now, don't let the redness worry you. You ain't scalded. Swelling has gone down a mite. Well, I'll just wrap it up real tight, and in a day or so, it'll be good as new. Swear I don't know how I'd get along without Epsom salt. Seems like they're a remedy for almost everything. Put old Lady Murdoch on them last year when her liver was acting up. 4 or 5 doses, and she ain't had a bit of trouble since. Why, she was even at the barn dance last Saturday carrying on like she didn't have no liver at all. Now, if you'll just hold out your hand, Bray.
Yeah, this is a Britt Ponsett's Christmas Carol. Reminds me awful lot of the third show I played with Jenny, I believe it was the title.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety.
Just a sprain. I guess maybe I should have ordered something I could spoon through.
Want me to slice up the meat for you?
No, I'll manage. I just get this thumb out of here. I'll be all right.
Well, if you want anything, just holler.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Beth. I don't know why they give me the toughest steak in the whole kitchen. For 35 cents, you'd think you should have been...
Howdy, Britt.
Oh, hello, Doc. Were you eating here, too, tonight?
No, Britt, I was looking for you.
For me?
Cal Plummer just come riding into town, says his ma's been shot.
Been shot? Cora?
That's what Cal says. He don't think it's too serious, but I'm going out the ranch now to see what I can do for her.
Oh, of course, sure.
Cal told me to bring you along.
Me? What for?
I don't know. He just told me to find you if I could and bring you.
Dead, huh? That's funny. Well,
Brits are coming or not?
Well, I sure don't see where I figure in this thing, but if Cal wants me, I...
Sorry to drag you away from your supper.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right, Doc. I'm afraid I was fighting a losing battle with that steak anyhow.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in just a moment. Every day, every... It's the fact that our standard of living will rise still higher. And while we've made ourselves stronger economically, we've retained all of our basic freedoms. We work where we choose, we bargain collectively, contract our own affairs, and profit from our inventiveness and enterprise. That's the American economic system, and I'm for it. I'm sure you are too. So let's keep things that way, friends. All of us. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
The Plummer Ranch was about half our ride east of Petersville. Real big outfit, too. Maybe, 50 square miles grazing land and all. The main ranch house just off the road was built to size. Two stories tall with giant big windows faced out. I remember hearing folks tell how Ned Plummer had to send all the way up to Chicago to get glass big enough for those windows. There was a couple of lamps burning somewhere on the first floor. You could see the little lights spilling through the draperies. The rest of the place was dark.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we left our horses in the yard, Doc and I. And he grabbed his satchel with the medical instruments, and we walked up to the carved mahogany door, the front door.
Just a minute. Yes? Doc Early.
Evening.
Just what can I do for you, Doctor?
Well, Cal said that Ms. Plummer... that Miss Quincy, your wife, that she was hurt somehow.
Oh, I see. Well, it's nothing serious, just a scratch. My gun went off accidentally. A bullet grazed her shoulder. But Cora's perfectly all right now. Matter of fact, I think she's already gone to bed.
Oliver?
Sounds to me like she's still up.
Well, I guess I was mistaken.
Yeah.
Oliver?
It's a doctor, dear, and...
My name's Ponsett. Britt Ponsett.
Britt Ponsett?
That's right. That's right, Mr. Quincy.
Well, I suppose you might as well come in, Doctor. Mr. Ponson?
How are you?
This way. I told him it was only a scratch, dear. But as long as Dr. Early rode way out here, I suppose he might as well have a look at you. Just be on the safe side.
Hello, Cora.
Britt. Why, what are you doing in Petersville? When did you get into town?
This afternoon. Didn't Cal tell you?
Well, no.
It must have slipped his mind.
Good evening, Cora. Let me see here.
Now, Doc, you shouldn't be troubling over me. I'm all right, really.
Well, of course you are, my dear. Of course you are. Bullet barely grazed your skin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid the good doctor doesn't approve of my bandage.
No. It's perfectly satisfactory. At least it appears to be. I'd like to take it off, though, make certain there's no danger of infection. You mind stepping in the other room, Cora?
Well,
Go ahead, my dear. Go ahead.
I'll see you before you leave, Britt.
Oh, sure. I'll wait around till the doc finishes up.
Nice of you to ride out to Dr. Early, Mr. Ponsett. Imagine he appreciates having the company.
Well, it wasn't his idea, Miss Quincy.
Oh?
Cal asked him to bring me along.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, I reckon that makes us even. Whereabouts is he, anyway?
Calvin? I don't know. He hasn't been here all evening.
He wasn't around when the shooting took place.
It was not a shooting, Mr. Ponsett. It was an accident.
Well, whatever it was.
And Calvin was not here. I met up with him while I was riding into town to get the doctor, and he offered to save me the trip.
Oh, I guess I was under the impression you said Cora didn't need a doctor.
No, she does. But at first, I didn't know how serious the wound might be. Then, when I got back to the house, I saw it didn't amount to anything.
Uh-huh.
By the time you and Dr. Early showed up, I'd forgotten the whole thing. That's why I was surprised to see you. For a moment, I couldn't think which wanted.
Your gun just happened to go off, huh?
I was going to clean it. I thought it was empty. I guess I don't know too much about firearms.
What make do you carry?
Why...
He doesn't carry any make, but I do.
I hadn't seen Cal come into the front hall, so I didn't know how long he'd been standing there. He was holding a .45, using it to cover his stepfather. The gun wasn't moving either. Cal's hand was as steady as his eyes. Steady and cold and determined. It wasn't the first time I'd seen a man with a look like that on his face. Now, not a killer's look exactly, at least not the look of somebody who wants to kill. More like somebody who hasn't got any choice.
I was wondering how you'd lie out of it, Quincy. What kind of story you'd tell. You weren't very convincing either, considering all the practice you've had.
Calvin, listen to me. I know how you feel.
You haven't got the slightest notion how I feel. If you did, you'd have left town like I told you a couple of hours ago.
Now, take it easy, Cal.
I gave him warning, Britt. I gave him fair warning. I said I'd kill him if he didn't get out and stay out for good.
I don't know what it is he's got against me, Mr. Ponsett. I suppose I don't measure up to his
measure
father.
Measure up to him? I ought to kill you for even comparing yourself. Well, are you going or not, Quincy? Because if you're not, this time Ma ain't here to get in the way.
But is that what happened before? Is that how she got shot up?
It was his fault. He's got her so mixed up, she doesn't see anything straight. She thinks he's fond of her, the way she is of him. When she saw the gun, she ran forward, yelling and screaming. The way she grabbed my hand, that's what made it go off. I never meant to fire. Least of all, I never meant to hit Ma.
But your Ma's all right, Calvin. The bullet hardly touched
her. I don't believe... Is that true, Mr. Punk?
That's right, Cal. Car's fine. Doc Early's in there now, just making certain.
All right, Quincy. Start moving before she comes back.
Now, hold on. Hold on a minute here now. This isn't any way to settle things. He's your mother's husband. She's got a right to know what's going on.
You think I want her to know what a liar he is? That he never cared for? You think I want to break her heart?
Well, what are you talking about, Calvin? I never lied to Cora. Never in my life.
And where's that big ranch you're supposed to own and all the money you're supposed to have?
What?
Tell Mr. Ponsett about your holdings. He's been to Elk Point. And there ain't no Quincy Ranch.
Oh, you're not making any sense, Calvin.
I ain't gonna stand around here arguing.
Put that away, Cal.
Not until he leaves. He gives me his word he won't be back. And if he don't keep his word...
Cal?
You don't figure in this, Mr. Ponsett.
You got me out here. It was my idea.
Well, nobody's keeping.
This bandage isn't on my gun hand, Cal.
He's got you fooled into being on his side, too.
I didn't say that.
Look. Ain't there nobody that sees him for what he really is? All he's trying to do is to get his hands on what my father left. Dad worked hard. All his life he worked hard. And when he was dying, he told me to look after Ma. Told me it was my job. Well, I'm going to do my job, Mr. Ponsett. And nobody...
Calvin, you've made enough trouble for one night.
I'm sorry, Ma. Didn't want you to be here. Didn't want you to find out.
Found out what? My son turned into a lunatic?
I'm only doing it for you, Ma.
For me? Do you think you're helping me by carrying on like this? I've got my own life to live, Calvin. You've got to let me live it as I see best.
Ma, he's no good. I was trying to get him to leave before Sheriff Jay comes back from Roswell, before the whole thing came out. Well, I guess it's too late now. I guess you'll have to know.
Know what?
He hasn't got a ranch. He ain't got any money.
Oh.
If you don't believe me, ask Britt Ponsett. He only married you because of what Pa left you.
No, all I said that I didn't know of any Quincy Ranch near Elk Point. That's all I said. I haven't been around there for a couple of years. Maybe by now...
Well, there ain't no such ranch now either. Is there, Quincy?
Well, no, of course not.
There you see, Ma.
Calvin, listen to me.
He's admitting it, Ma. Why don't you face facts? Everybody else has been on to him. Everybody but you.
It's all my fault. I should have told you in the first place. I know that Oliver isn't rich. I never thought he was.
You never thought... What?
Well, maybe Doc and I'd better
get No, I'd like you to stay, Brent. Calvin is right about one thing, though. I've been making a fool of myself. What's worse, I've been making a fool of Oliver, too.
Now, Cora.
You see, Calvin, I've known Oliver for a long time. Your father and I, well, we were all friends back in Kansas. All three of us. Of course, that was before I married your dad. You've known each other all these years.